Natasha, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Ruby. Thank you for speaking to me today.
My absolute pleasure. Now, you led a national survey exploring the impact of COVID-19 on teaching and learning across all educational sectors. What were some of the main findings that emerged?
Okay, one of the key findings that did emerge from the study was that the remote learning experience was quite varied for different students, teachers and schools. So we had some students that really adapted to it quite well and some even thrived in that kind of environment, whereas we had other students that completely disengaged, and then of course we had everything in between as well. We saw some really extraordinary ideas and creativity emerge during that time. So teachers, the whole profession moved to online learning in a rapid period of time, and I think it's quite remarkable and probably miraculous that they managed in that way. But we also found that there were some considerable challenges and some serious considerations that we need to think about during this next wave of remote learning.
Absolutely. And what were some of the major issues during the first stage of learning online?
Okay, so one of the key issues that teachers picked up on was not that they weren't as concerned about the educational outcomes, because they knew that once they went back into the classroom, good curriculum design would be able to remediate any of the issues experienced. However, most teachers did express concern about students' emotional well-being and also their social development, that connection, the very important connections that students have with their peers. We also asked questions related to access. So there's a few levels of access. Firstly is there's access to a device and reliable internet. And then, of course, there's access to learning. And that takes a variety of forms. So some children had a lot of support at home with parents. Others didn't have much support at all. So being able to access the learning was challenging in some cases. So those issues become equity issues, so the experience is not the same for all the students at home. One of the other key issues that we found was the work expectations, both for students and parents and teachers. So the students' work expectations, in some cases, where teachers were trying to keep up with the work program and the plan that they had originally for face-to-face teaching, that ended up putting quite a bit of pressure both on the teachers and the students. So teachers were working incredible hours to try and transfer everything into the online environment. And we've got to remember too that schools didn't close down. So we did still have some students returning to school. And in some cases, teachers were trying to manage students on site, but also via remote learning. So I think it is different this time because schools have spent a bit of time creating response plans, and also the advice from the department has been different as well. So they've just created a school operation guide for Term 3, which actually highlights some of these issues that we found in the study.
Of course. And how exactly can we make sure there is no repeat of those problems of equity next time around?
Yeah, so I'll address the access issues first. So the department here is offering support for loan devices to ensure that students have access to devices. It's one thing to have access to a device, you also need an internet connection. So where the cost is prohibitive in some cases, it's important that adequate support is given to families so that students can access online learning in that way. In some cases, that's not going to be an option, or it might be challenging. So teachers will also provide hard copies of materials. So that's ensuring access. The other one is communication. So we found in our study that there was a heightened level of communication between parents and teachers, lots of emails going forwards and backwards. And I think by having simple, open and clear communication channels between the schools and students and parents are really important. So simplifying that whole process and making sure that really good relationships are maintained, because that's absolutely essential in this partnership and working remotely. So those access issues need to be addressed, and I think schools now have really good support in providing loan devices. We'll certainly see what happens in the coming weeks in that regard. think curriculum needs to be addressed as well. So rather than trying to do everything, isolating the essential content and skills that students need. And I think one of the important skills that students need at this time is self-regulation, which supports motivation. So supporting children in developing skills related to managing tasks, organising themselves and goal setting, because they will be spending quite a bit of time on their own working through tasks at home. So that's an aspect that's important for students. But also not planning a balance of activities that are both online and off-screen tasks, so that students aren't online all day and then doing homework in the evenings on their screens. So I think really being identifying what that critical content is would be beneficial.
Of course. And now moving the focus towards teachers, your survey found 66% of all teachers reported working more hours than usual during every week of isolation. So how do we ensure that expectations placed on teachers are realistic and don't create further pressures?
Oh, that's actually a really good question. And it's those kind of initiatives that really support teachers in their work. And ensure that they're not burning out either in this space. So I think that whole idea of identifying what curriculum is essential and teaching that well during online time should reduce the time. Also, this time around, a lot of teachers had a very steep learning curve in how to use technology, testing out different apps. And I think schools and teachers will probably be a little more settled in terms of their reliable and preferred forms of communication via synchronous learning, so how they conduct live face-to-face classes and also how they conduct online offline tasks. So having those shorter classes and longer breaks is important for both students and for teachers, and also being really targeted in how much we're expecting of teachers, even volume of emails, something like that. If teachers are spending a lot of time communicating with students and parents and colleagues, that can be quite onerous. And a lot of them also have to manage their own families at home. So I think we need to be reasonable in terms of what we're expecting of teachers. I think teachers will always provide high quality learning, but we don't have to cover absolutely everything during this time. The difficulty is in terms of that time commitment is, you know, during the first wave, it lasted for quite a long time, a couple of months in some cases. We've gone back to school. I'm hoping that this second wave will only be the 6 weeks. When I say only, it's still a significant amount of time. But we don't know what the future holds. So we really need to have plans that are sustainable in the longer term should we need to move back into and out of remote learning. I hope I'm wrong on that one. I hope after these 6 weeks, you know, we all go back. But the reality is, I think what we've seen in the last few weeks has really been a harsh reminder of what we're dealing with.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, you kind of have to prepare for every situation, you know?
Absolutely. And look, as I said, schools have been creating plans at the moment. And I think the second time around, hopefully, it's a little more targeted and settled in the way we approach the remote learning for students as well and for parents. I've already seen a shift just in online media and comments, parents saying, you know, I'm not going to put pressure on my children. I think teachers as well were acutely aware in our study of the pressure that this also created, not only for the teaching profession, but also for students and their parents. So hygiene, safety, health, that's a priority. And we know in Melbourne and the Mitchell Shire, we have our BCE students that have returned back to school. So there is an increased vigilance around things like hygiene, with temperature checks being conducted on site and considerations regarding physical distancing, using larger spaces where available and staggered starts. So all of that's already in place. And it has been for some time. I think schools have been really good in developing those plans and also developing those plans in the event that there is an outbreak in their schools. So I wasn't quite expecting the 6 week, and I don't think anybody was, But I'm hoping that this period is going to be sufficient to get it all under control so that students can return back to school.
Absolutely. Well, Natasha, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Ruby.
Our pleasure.